Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their bow, their tongues like a bow for lies. This is an interesting phrase, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Father, we love you and so thankful for the opportunity it is to get to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the singing that we've already heard. Lord, the testimonies. God, thank you for your presence being real. God, just being a comfort and being a lighthouse, Lord, in the middle of the week where we can come and receive help. And God, I pray for just a few minutes that this would be exactly that. God, that you would take your word, that you would open it, make it clear and plain. God, that we would understand it correctly, that we walk away ready to serve you for another week closer to you than we were when we came. Lord, ready to bring honor and glory to you as ambassadors for Christ this week. Lord, we're thankful for what you've done, for what you're going to do now in the preaching. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. This is an interesting portion of Scripture, an interesting place in the Bible here in the book of Jeremiah. And when you begin to study this portion of the Scripture, in this passage, this chapter, if you will, there's a lot of emotions that are taking place here in this chapter. And that's the first thing I want us to think about tonight, is just that, the emotion of the prophet that we find here in chapter number 9. The past two chapters have been very detailed, and they have been very in-depth on describing Israel's sin and describing Israel's wayfulness and how they have wandered from God, and how that because of that there is coming a judgment. God has always judged sin. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God has made it very clear that even his people, the apple of his eye, the ones that he loves, the one that he called, even they, when they walk away from him, God has to chastise them and God has to punish them. The Bible said that he chasteneth every son whom he loveth. And so Jeremiah has had the task of preaching to Israel and telling them of the judgment that is coming. And he paints a very dark picture of the destruction and the ruin here that is going to come to Israel because of their sin. But look with me, if you would, in chapter 8. The ending of chapter number 8. In verse number 18, there's a couple of interesting verses here. As Jeremiah begins to speak, he is not preaching to the people, but Jeremiah is speaking from himself. He said, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Jeremiah is broken and he is distressed and he is bothered over the judgment that is coming to his people. And he begins to talk about a conversation that he can see taking place when this judgment comes. As Israel would say, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. In verse number 19, he begins to describe what they will say. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? And God answers, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? And so Jeremiah is beginning to see there's going to come a day when Israel's not going to even understand why they're being punished for their sin. They're not going to understand why God would do these things. And God's answer is that, why have they provoked me to anger? Why have they sinned against me in this way? And Jeremiah is bothered and he is distressed and burdened over this message that he has been given to preach to Israel. And look what he said in verse 20. Well, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah is looking at this message, this judgment that is coming. He's just looking at it and he's saying, the time is over. It's finished. It's done. There's no escaping this judgment. There is no crop failure to be had. In this case, the judgment is coming and there is nothing that can be done. Jeremiah is burdened over the distress that is coming to his people. But notice verse 21. The Bible says this, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I'm get thee rid of these allergies and we'll be ready to preach here in just a minute. But he said, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. And notice what he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Jeremiah is so burdened and he's so distressed over this, Brother Danny, because he understands that this judgment is not coming because there wasn't a remedy. It's not that they are sick and there was no cure. It's not that they were in need and there was no salvation, but rather they have turned away the cure and they have turned away the remedy and they have turned away the salvation that they could have had, and they've turned it all away. And Jeremiah is bothered because he understands there was a balm in Gilead. Jeremiah understood there was a physician to be had. There was someone who could heal the hurt, and they have chosen to reject all of it. Jeremiah is becoming bothered and burdened, distressed over this opposition that is coming to his people. And it spills over into chapter 9, what we read. He said, oh, that my head were waters, That's an interesting phrase here. As Jeremiah is beginning to tell us what's going on inside his mind, and we find not only the emotion of the prophet, but the expression of the prophet. Everything that's inside of him begins to come out and to boil over. And Jeremiah says this, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears." Why would he want that? He said that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah is wishing for some strange things, and he is burdened over some odd things. In both verses, he begins it by saying, oh, there's something inside of him that it's just he can't quite get it out, and he is burdened and he is distressed over this. He's almost saying, I wish I could do this, man. I wish I could make these things happen. I wish I could change these things. He said, I wish I could let out the pressure. He said, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep. Nobody enjoys weeping, and nobody wants to weep, and nobody takes pleasure in weeping, but Jeremiah is so burdened and he's so bothered that he needs to vent all of his frustration and all of his distress. And he said, oh, that my head were waters. He's wishing he could weep continually. He said that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah is so burdened that he says, I wish I could just keep weeping day and night, morning and evening, but not only to weep continually, but to weep creatively. Look at what he said, in mine eyes a fountain of tears, my head were waters. Jeremiah said, I wish I could come up with new ways to express the emotion, to express the hurt, to express the sorrow. I wish I could do more to let it all out. The expression that Jeremiah is giving here in the passage. It's an interesting passage. He says, not only I wish I could let out the pressure, but I wish I could leave these people. Look at what he said in verse number 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men. This is interesting. That I might leave my people. Now, I don't know a whole lot about pastoring. I don't know a lot about preaching. But one thing I do know, Brother Blake, is that in order to preach, you got to have somebody to preach to. In order to be a pastor, you have to have a congregation. In order to be a missionary, there's somebody you're trying to reach. And Jeremiah's been called to go to the nations. But when he looks at his people, Jeremiah says, I wish I could leave my people. They're so wicked. They're so terrible. They have wandered so far from God. They're disgusting and they're repulsive. And I wish I could leave it all behind and just move on to the next thing that God has for me. Notice where he said he wanted to go. He said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men. A wilderness is not a place that men desire to go. But Jeremiah is so bothered by the sin of his people that he wants to go anywhere he can get to get away from the repulsiveness of their sin. He said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men. Those lodging places were not a place that you would want to stay very long. It was not a very welcoming place. They were dirty and they were small and they were cramped. But Jeremiah said, anything will be better than to be put here with the sin that my people are committing. Jeremiah is beginning to tell us, I wish I could leave these people. These are strong wishes, but it is a strong message that Jeremiah has been given. It's brought him to the point where he does not even want to preach to his congregation the emotion, the expression. But notice the elicitation. The Bible said in verse number 2 that I might leave my people and go from them. And now he's going to begin to tell us exactly why it is that he wants to leave. Why is it that he wants to depart from them? He said, for they be all adulterers. An assembly of treacherous men. I think it's interesting that often the greatest need for a man in distress is just to be able to let it all out, to have someone to talk to, and to have someone to pour out their feelings and their emotions to. And as I was reading this passage, it was so amazing to me that God thought enough of his prophet to allow him a space to be able to let out some of those emotions and be able to let out some of those feelings that he had and lay it all out before him, just like you and I have the privilege of doing, as Brother Laddie prayed earlier, of coming into the throne room and bringing all of our troubles and all of our cares and saying, God, can you see what they're doing? And God, have you heard what they've said? And God, do you see their sin? God, do you see all of this? That is exactly where Jeremiah is at. He said, God, I wish I could leave these people. They're all sinful. They're all adulterers. They're all treacherous men. There's a categorization that bothered Jeremiah. He said, they be all treacherous men. Jeremiah said, everywhere I look, it's nothing but sin. Everywhere I look, there's nothing but evil men. And Jeremiah has been preaching for over 30 years. At the end of 30 years, he looks back and he said, I don't see anybody who's living for God. I don't see anybody who's doing right. Jeremiah is bothered by this. Their calculation bothered Jeremiah. Look at verse number 3. It's an interesting verse. The Bible said, they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. As a people, they're far from God. But in their actions, they are distancing themselves even more from God. He said they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. Not only are they wicked at heart, but they are wicked in practice. And as I began to read this passage and study this, I thought it referred to pulling back the arrow on a bow and letting it fly. But as you begin to study what is written here, Jeremiah is talking about the actual process of building this bow. Of stringing this bow, and they would take the sapling and they would lay it on the ground, and they tell us that they would stand in the middle of that sapling and grab one side in this hand, put the string on it, and bend up the other and pull the string to it to prepare the bow for battle or for hunting or whatever the case may be. And what Jeremiah is bothered by is that they are preparing to do evil. They're not just doing evil, Brother Danny. They're making preparations to go and do more of it. They're not just interested in evil, and they're not just far away from it at heart, but in every one of their actions, they are preparing to go do more evil, and they are making arrangements to go farther away from God. Everything they are doing is to draw them farther away from God. They're not simply evil at heart. They are evil in practice. Jeremiah is bothered by this calculation they've made, but there is a concession that bothers Jeremiah in verse number 3. He said, they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. And this is really what I'm interested in. He said in verse number 3, but they are not valiant for the truth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Now everything Jeremiah has been bothered by is who they are and what they're doing. He's bothered by their sinful nature. And he is bothered by their sin that they're committing. But there's something here he's bothered by they are not doing. And he said, they are not valiant for the truth. The word valiant means to be strong, to be steadfast, to hold on, to be firm in your conviction and firm in your belief. And Jeremiah looked at a people who were God's people. They were his chosen people, the apple of his eye, the one that he had called out into the land of, bondage and brought into the land that was flowing with milk and honey and had promised them everything and given them all the promises of the Word of God. And he looked at him and he said, they are not valiant for the truth. Not only are they wicked, they have turned loose of everything they once used to hold to. Everything they once said was right, they have turned away from. Everything they used to be, they have walked away from. They are not standing where they used to stand. They put all their effort into spreading the seed and none of it into spreading the truth. Jeremiah said they are not valiant for the truth. They're wavering on morality and they're shaking on the truth. And what bothered Jeremiah the most is that his people did not hold to the truth. I'm going to give you just a couple thoughts this evening on that thought on valiant for the truth. Because if there's ever been a day and if there's ever been a time when the truth is being attacked and what is right is being attacked and what we have always stood for is being attacked, it is right now. And I'm worried about those who are committing evil and I'm worried about those who are evil at heart, but I'm most worried about myself and not standing where I have always been taught to stand and not standing and holding to the Scripture and holding to what I know to be the truth. Jeremiah said, they are not valiant for the truth. And in some form of truth or deceit is mentioned 11 times, the first 9 verses of this chapter. Jeremiah is interested in the truth. After the revival of Josiah, the preaching of Jeremiah, there were still a people who were not only practicing evil, they were turning away from everything that they had once held to be the truth. They are not valiant for the truth. I want to think, first of all, about this tonight. What does it mean to not be valiant for the truth? What is it Jeremiah trying to say here in this passage? Well, the prophet doesn't tell us exactly what he means by being valiant for the truth, but he gives us a pretty good idea of what not being valiant for the truth is. He gives us a pretty painted description, a pretty easy to understand definition of what that would be. Look at what he said in verse 3. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, saith the Lord. What does it mean to not be valiant for the truth? I say, first of all, there is no action. It's interesting that Jeremiah, we know, was the doomsday prophet. He was the one that came in and preached of judgment that was to come. But in all the midst of that preaching on judgment, God had always given an opportunity for his people to get right. You think about all the prophets, they all had a message to give of judgment that was to come, but there was always hope to be had, and there's always hope to be had no matter the judgment that is coming in our lives. And God is faithful. He begins Isaiah by saying, come unto me. He said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He looked at Israel and he saw people that was marked by sin. He said, but if you'll just come, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. And Jeremiah had the opportunity and he had the privilege of throwing out the lifeline and throwing out a bale of hope, but they had turned it away time and time again. You think about Jonah. God sent Jonah before he destroyed Nineveh to preach and see, just to see if anything might come of preaching in Nineveh. And Jeremiah is no different. Beginning all the way back in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12, he told Jeremiah to go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, "Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and will not keep mine anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers." Jeremiah had always had a message of hope. God said, "If you'll just turn," he said, "I will be merciful." Some 12 years earlier in chapter 5, Jeremiah had been told to run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. God told Jeremiah, he said, you go to Jerusalem. He said, you go through the highways, you go through the byways, you go to the alleys, you go to the back streets, and see if you can just find one. Just find one that's living for me. Just find one that's holding to the truth. And Jeremiah could not find one. He told us this. He said, Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? God looked at a city that was full of people that had once loved him, that had once stood for him, that had once honored him, and Jeremiah could not find a man that would pardon, that God could pardon the city. God said if he could just find one man, God would pardon the city. And in chapter 9, 30 years after Jeremiah began preaching, they still have not acted upon the truth. All the way in the beginning of his ministry, all the way back in chapter number 3, God began throwing out the lifeline and offering mercy and offering forgiveness and offering reconciliation, but there was no action. They were not valiant for the truth. They did not act upon what they had been heard, what they had heard. I think one of the saddest things in the churches today is the amount of people that come into church and they hear the truth. They hear it every Sunday. They hear it every Wednesday, every Sunday school lesson, and they walk out the doors and there's no action. Nothing changes. It always stays the same. They are not valiant for the truth. Jeremiah was bothered because he was looking at a people who had every opportunity, every privilege to come back to God. God told them, I'll be merciful. I'll spare the city. I will pardon. But there was no action. They were not valiant for the truth. There was no adherence. Look at what he said in verse number 3. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, saith the Lord. You know, one of the most awful things about sin and about Satan is that you could never quite get away from it. It's a recurring cycle of sin after sin after sin. And once he drags you in, it's so hard to get out of his clutches. Only Christ can bring you back out of that. Samson found out about that. He got to playing with it, and he never could quite let it go. It became his demise in the end. You go to the book of Judges, and you'll find over and over again a cycle of sin, a cycle of judgment, a cycle of salvation, and then right back into sin again. And Jeremiah looked at a people who had known the truth, and at one time who had held the truth, but they refused to get out of the cycle of sin and refused to walk in the ways of the Lord. And John told us, he said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Right. Jeremiah looked at a people who just couldn't let go. They knew the truth. They knew what to do, Brother Danny. They just couldn't quite let it go. They couldn't walk in God's ways, and far removed from seeking the truth or being strong in the truth, they are seeking evil over and over again. They're in a continuous cycle of going from evil to evil. God never intended for his people to be in that cycle of going from evil to evil. He said, you should know the truth. The truth shall make you free. There was no adherence. There was no alliance. Look at what he said in verse 3. And they know not me, saith the Lord. Almost as a side note, we're told that they know not me. And this should come as no surprise that a nation who does not seek the truth, actively seeks sin and rebellion, has an awful relationship with the Heavenly Father. They have no idea who he is or of the aspects of his personality. And being valiant for the truth points you in the direction that the truth came from. Because all truth has to come from Christ. He is truth. He is the living word. And when you and I are pursuing the truth, we are pursuing him. We are pursuing a knowledge of him. And when we turn the other way and we begin to pursue evil, our relationship with the Father begins to suffer. Our relationship with him begins to fall off. And Jeremiah looked at the people. He said they are not valiant for the truth because their relationship with him has begun to suffer. They know not me, saith the Lord. Jeremiah emphasizes it is the truth. By seeking the truth, we are seeking the Father. And Jeremiah is distraught that there is no action for the truth. They are not motivated by what they have heard. There's no adherence to a godly life. There's no alliance with their Heavenly Father. They are not valiant for the truth. But I think about this, not only what does it mean to not be valiant for the truth, but what does it move or what does it change when we're not valiant for the truth? What happens? Well, the Bible said in verse number four, Jeremiah begins to describe what happens when a nation, when a society begins to move away from the truth. Jeremiah begins to preach in verse 4, and he said, "Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. And every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." And it's no surprise that a nation, a people who have turned away from God leads to a nation who has turned away from God. And the reason our country is going in the direction that it is in is because in our churches we have people who know the truth, they've seen the truth, but they do not take action on the truth, and they do not have a relationship with the Father, and there's no adherence to that. And as a result, we are seeing a nation, a society that is moving away from God and moving away from the truth. And when you move from the truth, you're moving towards evil. What Jeremiah begins to describe is a nation that is full of evil. Jeremiah gives six reasons why he would not trust a neighbor or a brother. Six different reasons. Jeremiah said the neighbors that you have, he said, when a nation is turned from God, you cannot trust a neighbor. But even closer than that, Jeremiah said, you cannot trust a brother. Even those who should be there for you and even those who should support you, Jeremiah said, when you turn from the truth, you cannot trust a neighbor or a brother. And this is why he said you cannot, they will not speak the truth. And it's interesting that this, when a nation turns from God, not only does it happens with the people who knew better, it went to the nation who did not know any better, but it affected everyday life. Jeremiah said this is not something that anybody is going to be able to escape. It is personal to you and it is personal to me. When we as a people move away from the truth, it is going to affect our daily life. Because what the world likes to tell you is that moving away from the truth doesn't affect anybody other than you. And moving away from the truth is not going to hurt anybody else. But what Jeremiah tells us is when they moved away from the truth, it destroyed the nation and it destroyed the home. He said, there's nobody to trust, not a neighbor and not a brother. The problem is with truth, they may have begun individually, but it will affect them collectively. Jeremiah begins to describe what happens when a nation moves away from the truth. The Bible said this, that he said, they refuse to know me. It should be no surprise that when we as a people move away from knowing God, there is no chance for the world around us to ever get to know him as well. Jeremiah begins to talk about what happens when a nation moves away from the truth. What does it matter to not be valiant for the truth? What happens? Why does it matter? In verse number 7, he said, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? God said through Jeremiah, therefore, because of this, I will melt them. I will try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? In verse 9, he says, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Jeremiah was preaching to a people who knew the truth. They had been given the truth, been given the law, been given the commandments. Paul told us that unto them are committed the oracles of God. Everything they had, and they turned their back on it. They were not valiant for the truth. They did not have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And as a result, the nation turned to evil and the nation was destroyed. And God said, there's a high price to pay for turning from the truth. He said, I will visit. And when I visit, I will melt them and I will try them. And we as a nation and we as a people, we as a church move away from the truth. Move away from standing for what has always been right. Moving away from what God has given us. I can promise this, that God will visit. He says, shall I not visit for these things? And just as surely as God visited them in those days, he will visit us. But I think it's interesting that verse number 3 gives us an interesting description about the truth that we've been preaching about. Look at what he said in verse 3 about the truth. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. And Jeremiah makes it very clear that he is bothered by what's happening around him in the earth. Jeremiah is bothered by this, and God will judge them here on this earth. But look at what verse 23 says. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Notice where he said, in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God looked at Israel and he looked at the people who had known the truth, but they were not valiant for the truth in the earth. And God said, I'll send judgment. But God said, for any of you that want to, for any of you that are interested in glorying in me, he said, I am a God that delights in loving kindness. I love judgment and righteousness, and I don't just love it where I'm at in the heavens. I love it in the earth. God said, if you'll be valiant for me in the earth, he said, there's judgment for you. There's righteousness for you. There's loving kindness in you. For in these things I delight. You know what God wants tonight? God is looking for a people that he can delight in and say, those are my children. Those are walking in my ways. That's one of mine down there. He's an ambassador for Christ, as Paul would say. God said, if you'll walk for me in the earth, if you'll be valiant for the truth in the earth, he said, I'll not just let you walk alone. He said, no, I'll give you loving kindness. I'll give you judgment, and I'll give you righteousness. For in these things I delight. God said, I'll punish you for your sin, but if you'll just walk with me, if you'll just serve me, if you'll just be valiant for the truth, stand for what is right, he said, I delight. Oh, it's my favorite thing. I love to get to show loving kindness to you, to show righteousness to you, to show mercy. The Bible said his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I think about what the prophet told King Asa. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Think about what God has promised, a comparison that God gives. God says, you're not valiant for the truth in the earth. I'll melt you, I'll try you, and I'll visit you. But if you're willing to walk in my ways, I have loving kindness. I have judgment. I have righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight. I begin to think this evening, what is the motivation to not be valiant for the truth? Why is it that when we have promises like this, God promising judgment, God promising righteousness, God promising mercy, why is it, Brother Laddie, that no one was? Why did no one want to seek the old paths and walk therein? Because the exact same reason that nobody wants to today, because being valiant for the truth requires a change in the way you live. God wanted his people to walk in his ways, not in theirs. And the reason Israel never could quite continue to walk in his ways is because they had thought they had a whole lot better idea. The ways of the heathen that were around them looked a whole lot more fun. And even though there was righteousness, and even though there was loving kindness, and even though there was judgment to walk in truth, they chose to go their own way. God said, I'll visit for those things. Because they were not willing to change their ways. They're coming to get us a song ready tonight. And I wonder, what is my relationship with the truth? How do I handle the truth that I've been given? You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. It wasn't that they didn't know the truth. It was they didn't act on what they knew. And I'm convinced there is nobody in this church, and most people in the world today, are not doing what is wrong because they don't know the truth. Because they're choosing not to walk in the truth. And I find that most of the time, the reason I fall into sin, the reason I fail, the reason I let God down is not because I don't know what to do. It's because I know what to do and I choose to go my own way. Jeremiah said, they are not valiant for the truth. We're standing all over the building tonight.